This is Financial Standard, the definitive source of news, thought leadership and analysis for Australian wealth management professionals. Financial Standard, take the lead.
Welcome to the Financial Standard podcast. I'm your host, Karen Vergara, a senior journalist at Financial Standard. In celebrating this year's International Women's Day, we are called to accelerate action to make the workplace, and therefore the world, more diverse, equitable and inclusive. In our own backyard, one of the ways we can secure a better future for Australian women and the economy is to move the needle on paid parental leave and early childhood education and care. To explain exactly how we can do that is Georgie Dent, the Chief Executive of The Parenthood. Georgie, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Georgie, first of all, tell us more about The Parenthood and its mission.
The Parenthood is a not-for-profit advocacy organisation that exists to give voice to parents and caregivers. Our mission is to make Australia the best place in the world to be a parent and raise a child. And we're really explicit about needing to support parents and caregivers because the well-being of children, particularly in the early years, is inextricably linked with the well-being of their primary carers, which in most cases are their parents. We advocate for systemic reforms so that parents and children have the opportunity to thrive.
And I think on your website, you've got a community of about 75,000, is that correct?
We represent about 82,000 parents, carers and allies nationally.
In one of your reports called Back of the Pack, it says that Australia lags when it comes to economic participation behind global peers. So back in 2006, Australia was ranked 12th in terms of women's workforce participation. But since then, we have steadily slid back in 2021 to 70th place. So why is this the case, Georgie? And what can we do to improve it?
Yeah. So look, Australia has got a really unique situation where we have been and remain world leading when it comes to educating women and girls. So we have had, according to the World Economic Forum, we have held the top spot for female educational attainment in the world for a really consistent period. So there's no better place in the world to be born as a girl and have access to an incredible education. That's not to say that it's perfect in every sense, but on the whole, we are a great country at educating women. If you look at university, we have got, in most degrees, women dominate at university as well. So in most cases, if you look in courses, women are enrolling in either greater numbers than men or similar. But then what is unusual in Australia is, so in most countries, there is a correlation between the educational attainment of women and the women's workforce participation. So generally speaking, the rule is the better educated the female population is, the greater likelihood there is that they'll be participating in the paid workforce to a greater extent. Mm. But in Australia, we have got this unusual predicament where we are world leading at female education, but we are world lagging when it comes to women's workforce participation.
Wow.
And while the numbers have changed a little bit since 2021, when that report Back of the Pack came out, they haven't changed dramatically. It is still the case that women in Australia are actually working more than they ever have. But compared to global countries with women with similar educational qualifications and skills, women in Australia are far more likely to work part-time than women in other parts of the world. So even though our overall, the number of women working is greater and the amount that women are working is the highest it's ever been, but compared to our global peers, it still lags. And there's a really clear explanation for why this is. So countries that have got the slimmest gender gap or countries that have got the highest proportion of women working are the same countries that have invested in what we describe as infrastructure or the roads and bridges that parents need to be able to move between their caring responsibilities at home and their engagement in the paid workforce. So countries that have invested in paid parental leave schemes where it's not just an option for dads to participate, but where it's become the cultural norm for dads to take extended parental leave, for mums and dads where possible to share the care. When countries have invested in policies like that, what we see is a really clear increase in women's workforce participation. The other big policy area where these countries have invested is in totally affordable, high-quality early childhood education and care. So the combination of those two reforms of having adequate and equitable paid parental leave and then totally affordable, accessible, quality childcare, they are effectively the roads and bridges that parents need. And I'm saying parents, but in reality, in Australia, because of the way our policy settings are and the way our cultural attitudes have emerged, it is still the case that in most households, when it comes to making decisions about combining work and care, it is women or mothers who are far more likely to either reduce their work or even step back from work altogether when they have a baby. And that's why in Australia, we have got a really significant motherhood penalty. So on average, a woman in Australia, her income drops by about 55% when she has a baby, and it doesn't recover for about 5 years. And by global standards, that is one of the biggest motherhood penalties that exists.
Wow, that is fascinating. 55% drop and a recovery in 5 years' time. Very startling, isn't it?
And that those figures are from Treasury, so you can get those easily.
Georgie, what trends do you see among those who work in the financial services sector? Women, you know, and their attitudes or struggles towards it.
Yeah, so look, what we see is there's a really consistent picture in Australia, and it is actually a similar picture across income brackets.
Right.
That a lot of families in Australia, when they've had children, they do make decisions about who returns to work and how. And it does tend to be women who take on the greater role in terms of providing the care for the children. And so what we see is that, you know, at the moment when the Parenthood has polled 1,200 parents with children six and under, more than 84% say to us that they need two incomes to meet the cost of living. Now, only 3 in 10 families who use long daycare say the cost is manageable. So we have got this trap for working families. We call it a cost of working trap, where the cost of childcare is so high that couples really do assess in the short term the viability of both working. And I even in finance, which is obviously there's a spectrum of income in finance, but even for higher income to professional women, the way our tax system works with the subsidy system, with the high out-of-pocket cost, we have got a situation where for a lot of women, they do look at the numbers and they determine there's absolutely no financial gain in them working more than 3 days a week, because for the fourth and fifth day, the extra income pushes them out of, you know, potentially getting as much subsidy, and then the tax system punishes them again. And so you've got some women with effective marginal taxation rates of upwards of 74 cents in the dollar. And the reason that this is problematic is because in the short term, working 3 days a week technically might not be a problem, but it is a problem when those women actually want to be working more than 3 days a week. But it also is problematic because we know that promotional opportunities and career progression, it is much harder when you are working part-time, particularly in sectors like finance.
Absolutely.
And that just remains the case. And so women are sort of punished twice because the cost of childcare means they can't work that fourth or fifth day necessarily without it costing a fortune. And then when you layer in the fact that life can become quite tricky logistically, if you've got multiple young children and you're trying to work full time, parents look at that equation and they think this doesn't make sense. So they do step back, but then they're also stepping back from opportunities for progression. And they're sort of tarred with this brush of potentially their colleagues or their bosses are looking at them thinking, oh, they're not as ambitious as somebody else, when actually that's not the case at all. They're just stuck between two really hard places.
So something exciting happened recently. On February 13th, the government passed the landmark 3-day guarantee bill, which guarantees early childhood and education and care and effectively removes the activity test for all families. So how significant is this, Georgie? What does this mean for women?
So the 3-day a week entitlement is a really significant paradigm shift for policy in Australia. And that is because for a really long time, early education and care, or childcare, has been incorrectly perceived as being almost welfare or some form of babysitting or a luxury niche that only certain parents need or want. The evidence could not be more clear that early childhood education and care is a critical component of a child's healthy development and education. So when children have the opportunity to participate in high quality early learning, they are more likely to arrive at school on track, to do better at school. They're more likely to graduate from school and go to university. They're less likely to engage in criminal activities. They're less likely to be reliant on social services later in their life. This evidence base is incredible and incontrovertible that children do really well when they have that opportunity. So why this three-day guarantee is so significant is because this is the federal government recognizing that we need to ensure that every child has the opportunity to participate in early education and care, regardless of their parents' income, their parents' employment status, or their postcode. Now, I need to be really clear. The activity test was designed as a workforce incentive. So the idea was that families could only access the subsidy if they met certain requirements for study or volunteering or working. It was designed as a workforce incentive, but what the research has shown us is that it's actually created a barrier for a lot of women from participating in the workforce, particularly women in casual or part-time employment. So research shows that there's about 40,000 women, particularly single mothers, who have been effectively locked out of the workforce because of this test. And it sounds counterintuitive, you know, how can the activity test bar somebody from participating in work? The way it's worked in reality is that if you don't have a shift lined up, chances are you can't pay for a day of childcare.
Mm.
But if you don't have childcare lined up, you're not able to take a shift when it's offered. And while on paper you might think, oh, this could align if everyone's entitled to even a day a week of some form of subsidy, but for people that are in casual employment, it hasn't worked like that. And so the activity test has actually barred a whole lot of children from participating in early education and their parents from participating in the workforce. So this, the change with the activity test is predominantly going to benefit women and households on the lower end of the income spectrum. But it is a huge milestone for all children and families in Australia, because it actually puts in place, if you think about it, as a flag in the sand where we say the minimum we accept is that every child should have the opportunity to participate in 3 days a week of high-quality early education and care.
As mentioned, International Women's Day this year is themed Accelerate Action. So what is the parenthood hope when it comes to accelerating gender equality and with its overall mission, and how can it help achieve that this year?
So the parenthood's ultimate policy dreams are for every family to have access to 1 year of paid parental leave that is shared between parents where there are two parents, that is paid at a replacement wage rate. That would be a world-leading paid parental leave policy. It would also be an incredibly effective lever to accelerate progress for gender equality, because as I've said, having inadequate paid parental leave or having a situation where it's predominantly mothers who take extended parental leave and dads only take a small amount, that perpetuates this arrangement where mothers are primary caregivers and dads are primary breadwinners. That doesn't actually reflect the economic reality for households in 2025 when a lot of households need two incomes to get by. So in improving our paid parental leave policy settings will absolutely accelerate progress towards gender equality. It's the same with early childhood education and care. So ultimately at the parenthood, we are advocating for early childhood education and care that's delivered by a professionally paid and supported workforce to be free for children from low-income families and for there to be a set low fee for everybody else. So whether it's $10 or $20 a day. We advocate for this policy because we know that outcomes for children improve dramatically when they have access to early education and care that's high quality. But it also happens to be one of those rare silver bullets when it comes to accelerating progress for gender equality. Because as I've said, without that infrastructure, without having access to totally affordable, suitable, quality early education and care, the paid employment opportunities for mothers are greatly reduced. And we know that the only way to develop financial security over the course of your life is by participating in the paid workforce. And when you don't consistently participate in the paid workforce, instead of accumulating financial security over the course of your life, you are too often accumulating financial insecurity. And when you have no financial security, you have no security. So we know that this is inextricably linked with women having the opportunity to enjoy the dignity and the safety and the economic rewards of employment, that they can combine their caring responsibilities with their need to financially provide for a family. So while our mission is to make Australia the best place in the world to be a parent and raise a child, part of that is actually about reducing gender inequity, because we know that gender inequity is really, it's not good for children and it's not good for parents. So we can improve the well-being of both children, parents and families by investing in policies that enable women to more readily choose between and determine how they combine work and family.
Georgie, you and the Parenthood are doing such amazing work. Keep up the excellent, excellent advocacy that you and the organisation are doing. Any final comments before we wrap up?
I think it probably is worth noting that over the last 3 years, so the last term of this federal government, we have seen an increased focus and an increased investment in policies that do support women and families. So we have seen in this term of government, we've seen the paid parental leave scheme lift from 18 weeks to 26 weeks mm-hmm. by 2026. We've seen the inclusion of superannuation, which is a change that a lot of super funds, a lot of advocates, including myself, it's been on the agenda for a really long time. That is a huge change. It doesn't make a difference necessarily in the short term, but to not have that super paid while you're on parental leave adds up. And so it can be worth as much as $30,000 per child in 30 years' time. So the inclusion of superannuation and the expansion of paid parental leave is really significant. Under this term of government, we have also seen a pay rise for early childhood educators, which is game-changing, because without a properly paid workforce, we don't have a workforce for early childhood education, and we already have an issue with too many communities and children missing out because there's just not enough educators. That increased investment in their wages is huge. Similarly, the three-day-a-week guarantee signals a total paradigm shift in where we are. At the Parenthood, the next frontier that we're really focused on is affordability. So we want it to be free for children from low-income households, and we want there to be a set daily fee for everybody else. The current childcare subsidy is inherently flawed in its design, because what we've seen is parents and taxpayers spending more and more and more exponentially over the last decade without there being any downward pressure on out-of-pocket fees for parents. So it's been an inefficient model. The ACCC said in its big report on childcare that the childcare subsidy has got limited effectiveness in putting any downward pressure on prices. Until we address the out-of-control cost of childcare, we will not see children participating in the way we want them to, and we will not see women being able to participate in the workforce in the way they want to.
Georgie, I can't agree with you more. Thank you so much for your work, and thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for having me, Karen.
Thanks for listening to this Financial Standard podcast. For more information, visit financialstandard.com.au. Please keep in mind that the information discussed in this podcast is general in nature and does not consider personal circumstances. Reliance should not be placed on any content without further independent financial research and advice.